Welcome back to the Structural Engineering Podcast. This week, we're talking with David Wu, a grad student at the University of Iowa, and someone with some great internship experience in the last two summers, both engineering and construction related, but we'll get to that shortly. We think David can help us gain a better understanding of school during COVID time, what do current openings look like generally, and how schools are doing academically to prepare students for the SE career. Enjoy the talk.
So the first thing we wanted to get into is kind of pre-college. And what I thought would be an interesting question is, how many schools did you apply to?
I'm going to be straight honest with you guys. I applied to just one, and that is the one and only University of Iowa.
Was that definitely they had an engineering program that you wanted, or was the closest and it felt comfortable? Why just that one?
So my family moved to Iowa, and specifically Iowa City, back in 2010. And this place is my hometown, and yeah. I guess I've lived here for so long that it's pretty much my home. The reason that I went to this school was because of the pharmacy program. So initially, that was kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a pharmacist, and the program is super, super good for that. But then my parents always pushed me towards STEM, but they always pushed me away from doing any kind of research. So yeah, it was kind of like a happy middle ground.
Nice.
So you grew up in Idaho? You grew up in Iowa. What kind of hobbies do you have growing up?
To be honest, there isn't all that much to do in Iowa City. A lot of the activities that my friends and I did were kind of just like messing around the neighborhood. Not necessarily anything that I would go around bragging about, but we were kind of misfits and just, you know, just having fun being kids. And I really enjoyed it. Like, I think my favorite thing to do was like backyard football or playing at the elementary school. That's like where all my friends lived. We were like right by the elementary school. We played football. We played like Nerf. And that's kind of one of core things that kind of pointed me at engineering was I would be the one that would go and like spray paint everybody's Nerf guns and like modify them so they could shoot farther.
Yeah.
So that was maybe like a subtle hint that I should have just went somewhere for engineering, but that didn't really hit until later on.
When was the engineering the obvious answer? You're already in school for pharmaceutical studies. And when did you decide to make the switch to engineering?
It was kind of always like in the back of my mind that I do like to build things. I do like to design. I'm really into like the whole art aspect of, you know, I think science, technology, and art they coexist and they all kind of lean off each other.
Yep.
So it was always in the back of my head, but it really didn't hit me until I like finished my chemistry class and thought to myself, like, dang, I really don't like chemistry. This stuff is super dependent on just straight memorizing. And that really isn't how I learn. And that isn't like my strong suit. I'm not like super good at memorizing stuff. I'm more of problem solving, think logically, make some assumptions and kind of figure out how to like problem solve. So that was really when I knew I needed to get out of that and switch into engineering.
That is very cool. I did an architectural undergrad first. And so I did lean to the art side as well. And it's very nice to connect this to engineering. You know, however you form that connection in your head, for me, was it like architecture to structural engineering was very direct. And I like this, but yeah, it's feeling that art side is really, really worthwhile.
Exactly.
So let's move into the kind of into college. You started pre-pharmacy. Now you're into the engineering school. What was that like switching? What sort of electives did they ask you to take? Did you know it was structural engineering you wanted to go into, or what was that process like?
Right. So after my first semester in pre-pharmacy, I went to my advisor right away. I'm pretty sure it was as early as making that last advising appointment to kind of figure out your classes for the next semester. I told her that I'm not doing this anymore. Is there any way you can switch me to like open or undeclared so that way I don't switch into something else and then decide to switch out of it again?
Yeah.
Do this back and forth thing. So I was undeclared, but she asked me like, what kind of classes do you want to take, or what kind of classes are you interested in? And I told her that I'm interested in taking like more engineering classes or like math classes. So she told me to just sign up for these math classes that were prereqs for a lot of engineering classes. So in case I do decide to switch to engineering, I can kind of just transition smoothly and not have to wait. So then second semester, I took pretty much more STEM classes and some gen eds. And then over that summer, that's when I like applied for the College of Engineering and I got in. Being completely honest, I was terrible at all those classes when I started. I mean, there was so much going on in my life and I was trying to figure out adulthood and just figure out like college life that I really struggled super hard.
Yeah, and is this first like year. Physics, statics, kind of like the fundamental physics class?
Yeah, exactly. Those classes, like physics one. We have a class called circuits, and I really struggled with that too.
I had that, and I also struggled, so I understand.
Yeah,
I hated that.
I got hit really hard that year. I don't like to tell this to a lot of people, but I feel like I need to just let it out. I almost failed out of college. I was put on academic probation because of how bad my grades were. And I believe that was like the best thing that could ever happen to me was hitting that rock bottom academically. That really helped me like realize, man, I can't go home and tell my parents that I failed out of college. I need to get my stuff together, figure out what's going on, figure out what's the best way for me to learn. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I started going to every possible like tutoring opportunity or any like extracurricular helping opportunities that the school offered. And I would go in and sit down with a tutor and, you know, really get to learn the stuff. Besides that, I would also like go onto YouTube or just use like other resources to like try to learn the material in a different way. And that I found was extremely helpful. That's not something that you would typically think about when it comes to like college classes, but a lot of this stuff, it's taught all around the world. Like most schools teach this stuff. You can find other resources if the stuff you're learning at your school isn't doing it.
I want to step just a little bit back from where you started there. And I think this will help our audience a lot because, you know, we get reached out by a lot of people in college that are just unsure of what they want to do. What was that like changing from pharmacy to engineering and just kind of not being sure what you want to do? Was it easy? Were you anxious about it? Were you scared to stop with what you're doing and kind of figure out what you're trying to do next? What was that like?
I think it's super helpful to know what you don't want to do, to like narrow down what you want to do, right? For me, I kind of avoided that whole like engineering and math stuff because I knew it was a bunch of work. But at the end of the day, that's like what I like to do. Truthfully, like I like doing it. It sounds really weird, but I like doing math. I like doing all this engineering stuff. And it's kind of just admitting to yourself like what you're good at or what can you see yourself doing or what can you see yourself waking up to and being excited to do every day. So I think that's like the best way to figure it out is by doing what you don't like to do and knowing that you don't like it so you can move on to stuff that you like to do.
Yeah. When in the college education did you get to start taking like structural specific style classes? Like if you transferred at the end of freshman year, was it kind of sophomore where you got to hit the structural fundamentals?
So I actually took structures my third year. Yeah, my third year at the university. So that was 2020, I believe. So like, I believe the semester that I started taking my first structures class, that was when all classes went online because of COVID. So, yeah.
Yeah, that has
been a crazy
point.
Ride.
How was that organizationally when everything went online for you? Was it hard to kind of keep things in track? And
I thought it was good and bad in the sense that the semester before, at least at my school, I'm pretty sure this was most school. It was in person for like half of it. And then around spring break, that's when stuff started to get really bad and then it switched to virtual. So my school had that whole like second half of the semester to kind of figure out a way to do virtual learning. I thought my teachers in our program did a really good job. They would record all their lecture videos like before the semester started and they would post all of them so that way you could go back and like watch it on your own time. That's and very cool. My structures professor actually, so we were able to watch all the lecture videos before class even started. And he just had all the class time for us to ask questions. And I thought that was good. He had like open office hours too. But I thought it was a very interesting semester, to say the least, where that's when you start meeting like a lot of the people that are going to be in your same elective focus for structures. Yep. You don't actually get to see any of their faces. So you just know their voice and you know their name, but you like don't know who they actually are.
Did you feel like it hurt the educational component? Did you feel like you had a greater takeaway having everything online? Like you said, the video lessons you could replay many times, which is really great, actually. Did you feel better academically because of that?
And to add just a little bit to the end of Max, too, I think this is something that the general world of structural engineering and all that, you know, everything is worried about, that those years of COVID and learning remotely may have caused less learning. So I actually really interested in hear what your answer here is.
Right. I think it was the best thing ever, honestly, because That's when stuff gets more advanced and you're not just, your homework starts taking like, instead of 2 hours, it takes like maybe like 2 days, you know, 6 hours each day to complete. Obviously, the school went harder when it came to like exams and even homeworks. They made them like really hard to like prevent any academic misconduct. Our stuff was really tough, but definitely having your lecture videos and being able to replay them was super helpful. Like, I wish I could take a GoPro to class now and just like record the whole session and like replay it if I have any questions.
Yeah.
But it was super helpful being able to replay them. Like, okay, let's rework through this again and be able to see that process again and not have to go through your notes while you're rushing to take notes in class. Yeah.
That's actually like the almost the whole reason Max and I decided to start this podcast. We're like studying for the PE and man, we're learning so much stuff. It'd be cool to like interview people that are experts in this and talk to them. And man, why don't we just start a podcast, record it and let everyone re-listen to it as much as they want. And that was actually like the big piece that started us doing this. And we found it to really work well. And, you know, it's been able to take one person's knowledge and spread it out to a lot. So I can see where that would be a huge value in school, being able to have a recording that you can listen to, go back, and, you know, everyone learns at a different speed. So being able to rewatch and stop and yeah, I never really thought about that too much.
It definitely was, at least for me, I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like all my peers, they thought the lesson videos were effective. We actually still do that now, since my professor still has some of those videos for other classes that he teaches. So yeah, he provides that for us now, and we're able to watch it too, on top of having actual lecture and in-class activities to do in person. So I think that has definitely been a benefit.
That is very cool. And so now that you've moved to master's, is everything back? Remote is done for college currently?
Yeah.
We're back. Master's would be really hard, more remote, but I have no idea, no reference here.
Right.
So you got into it. Like you said, you failed a little bit. You really got you going again. What classes did you start taking? Which ones did you really enjoy taking? What were you good at? And kind of how did you push through to graduation?
So I really enjoyed all the structure classes. Anything that was related to structures in any way was super interesting. I like to point out a few classes. I think my most memorable and like my favorite class is definitely this class called Structural System. So we have like a structural analysis class that really is just statics on steroids, I'd say. A lot more just general analysis, but didn't really take a look at the building, you know, like all the systems, and like, you know, you have your gravity system, your lateral system, footing, all that stuff. That didn't really like come into play until I took that class. So that was one of the only classes that was in person during that second semester of that COVID year. That was like my only class in person. And I thought that was the best class ever, because it really like made me want to do structural engineering even more. This leads to my second favorite class. It's called Structural Health Monitoring, Structural Modeling and Health Monitoring. It's really a mouthful, but in that class, we were introduced to finite element analysis, just very simple stick and node analysis. We were introduced to dynamic analysis and that impacts on buildings. And then the big takeaway for that class is really just detecting damage in structural elements. One of our lab, we were pretty much hammering a beam, and then you can find its like frequency response. And based on if there's a crack in it or whatnot, you can tell that its like frequency has changed. So I thought that was like super cool. And I think that's a very unique class to our school. I'm not sure if other programs offer that, but that was those two classes definitely are the most memorable, my two favorite.
That is very cool. So as a class that you were taking, what felt the closest to structural engineering to you? And did you enjoy that type of class, like that felt like a structural engineering type of work?
So that would have to be like our concrete design class.
Yeah.
Since I did a lot of concrete work for my internship. For our concrete class, you start off with just understanding the material properties of concrete and how it's god-awful in tension and how it's great in compression. And then moving on to like, okay, what happens if we add some reinforcement to it? And then let's look at different types of RC members and like its behaviors and ways to check if it's adequate for strength and serviceability. That felt most like how the industry would go. Like,
yeah,
kind of just having to make sure that it follows code and it passes all your requirements. But it's definitely similar, but at the same time, like super different too, because we didn't get to use a whole lot of software that did a lot of the analysis for us. And it was all really by hand and step-by-step follow through process.
What would you say you would suggest to others that made you most successful in getting a degree in civil engineering?
I believe I mentioned this earlier, but the idea that there are other ways to learn and there are plenty of resources online that is free 99 out there for anybody. But like I said, if I were to give a tip to anybody starting out in college or even in civil engineering, it is to like go to all those additional resources if you're lost or confused in your classes and take the time to really figure out what you're learning and try to understand what's going on by using other resources or going on YouTube and watching like a 5-minute video just explaining the concept or watching a video over like a simple problem and kind of using that as like your foundation to get more comfortable in civil engineering.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add about college?
Yeah. I actually just have one more thing, and that is to really bug your professors, go and talk to them, like go to their office hours. If you have any questions, they're definitely your best resource. And also like get involved too. You can learn a lot through different organizations. I participate in ASCE, and there's plenty of learning opportunities. They do really cool projects all year round. So definitely like get in there and make new friends, make some memories.
Yeah.
Just have some fun, I'd say.
Did you do any of the sort of like Concrete Canoe or Steel Bridge, any of those specific kind of club, engineering club?
Yeah, so I was on the University of Iowa's ASCE exec team. I did a lot of their marketing stuff for different events, but I also helped out with Concrete Canoe. And we also do something called the Corn Monument, which is like pretty sure it's specific to Iowa, University of Iowa, where we go build, we incorporate like corn into like a monument that goes on our Pentacrest right in front of, it's just for the homecoming game. So we do that every year. And that's something that I partake in and try to help out as much as possible. But yeah, definitely you can get a lot of good hands-on experience too, because with Concrete Canoe, you get to learn about mix design and concrete related stuff. Really good like opportunities out there.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, let's move into your internship. I know Max and I are really excited to talk about this. So
sweet.
Yeah, give us a little intro to how many places you applied to and what the process was like to apply for an internship.
Yeah, so I got my first internship pretty late, around the end of my junior year going into my senior year. And to be completely honest, I applied to about 70 places and really only heard back from 2 places with no experience and a very minimal resume.
And is this across the country, 70 places, or is like, were you being selected at location? Yeah.
Anything that says civil engineering construction, I would apply. Like I didn't even read some of the descriptions. I would just apply because I needed the experience that bad. Fortunately, I was able to get an internship locally. The company is called Knudsen, and they're the general contractors. And I decided to take that internship because I wanted to see the construction side of things. I thought it was in my favor and a valuable experience to see, kind of how buildings get built and like what that side of the discipline looks like. So I went and did an internship with them, and I was out on the job site all the time, and I was able to listen in on a bunch of site meetings and really kind of get the feel for what the contractors do and how they interact with the architect and the structural engineer. So that was a really valuable experience.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it much until I kind of started working, and some people brought up to me that they would be almost more interested to hire an engineer that has actually field experience, hands on the rebar, placing concrete, framing stick built buildings, really. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Why wouldn't you want them to know how to do the calcs and come in with that experience? But the further I get in my career, the more I realize how right that is. Like having someone that can actually understand how the building goes together is the biggest challenge. I think getting a new hire that can, do the calculations, that it's a big portion of our job, but I think it's maybe on the easier or the more intro side of our job. And when you're getting into designing the building, how it goes together, how you frame it out, how you lay it out, how you detail it, that's really in the constructability of things for a big portion of it. And so I think the value of having a construction internship is huge, or just being a laborer at a construction site is huge, and just seeing and being in that environment. And if I could go back to college and do it over again, I would have an internship in engineering for sure, but also one in construction. And maybe not necessarily an internship, but just go work in the field, go throw iron around or throw 2x4s at people.
Right. Exactly. Why I also took the internship was because, like I mentioned before, I took the class called Structural Systems, and my professor really emphasized on like knowing how the construction side works, so that way you know how to design a building and how things go together. So that's why I took that internship over another engineering internship out in Iowa, because I really needed to understand how like pieces are assembled. You know, if you're going to pour concrete, all the site conditions and all that, I thought was super valuable, and that I needed to at least see it to really know what's going on.
Yeah. Did it feel like that changed your approach to problems when you return to school for senior year, like how you looked at things, can they fit together sort of approach?
Oh, exactly. So during that summer, there was just like a super long lead time for a lot of precast concrete material that summer.
Yeah.
So when I went and did my senior capstone project, we wanted to treat it like a real life project. So we decided not to go with any like precast concrete components because of my experience with like the lead time with concrete. So just kind of having that knowledge there was super helpful.
And on that, I'm just definitely jumping back to the college theme, but capstone project, I got very lucky and had a structural based one, and there were only a few. What was the capstone project, and like how did you get to choose that out? What did you like throw the outline down and get it approved, or was it you get to choose one? How does that work?
Right. So our capstone project is kind of split into two classes. The first class is more so like a prep class for the FE exam. So you do a lot of problems and review and stuff, and you also learn about like construction administration, which at that time I was like already familiar with a lot of that stuff and all those terms and like the bidding process and all that. So it was fun actually getting to see how what I did over the summer was actually super related to what we're doing for our capstone. So during that class, we were able to hear about the potential projects for the next semester where we actually go and do the designing and all that stuff. And you are able to choose based off of kind of like what your EFA is. So there's like the water resources people would want to choose something that's more related to them, and environmental, likewise, transportation. So I, for my three options, I put all structures, obviously, because I wanted the structures project. Yeah, it really was like a, what are you interested in? And like, what is your focus? And that's how you kind of get sorted into those projects.
Kind of going back to the internships, I know you got a second internship the next following summer. Tell us about that process. Where did you apply and how'd that go?
Yeah, that's right. So I did my first internship in construction, but I also wanted to do another one in engineering, and more specifically structural engineering. So I, again, just started looking for anything that had structures in it this time, and engineering, and started applying to places. I applied to this firm out in Salt Lake City called Dunn Associates, and I ended up getting that internship, and that was really, really awesome, because I've always wanted to go out west too. I've been interested in seismic engineering, so I thought that was like the best place to go, you know, just go close to a fault line and see what it's like out there and learn more about that type of design.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot I can unpack in that.
Yeah.
A lot of questions. Okay, so the first one I think is an easy one, but for someone that's listening to this and they're applying for internships, what did you expect from the interview? What was the interview like? How would you say someone can do it better, maybe? So yeah, what tips would you have there?
Right. So definitely like research where you're applying and try to really understand what they do, what their core values are. That's the first tip I give anyone, is really understand where you're applying.
So for research on a firm, are you looking on their website and seeing what projects they have done and like what type of system, steel or concrete, painting the picture that way?
Yeah, so most places break down their projects into, you know, either commercial, residential, et cetera. There's different categories. So I recommend scrolling through whichever ones you're interested in first. So then you can start looking at their projects, narrow down one that you really want to focus on. And I actually found one of their building projects in a Structure magazine's article. So I like read through that too. And I try to understand as to the best of my ability as to like how they overcame their challenge. And I reached out to Dave Dunn at Dunn Associates, sent him an email, showed interest, and I was able to get an interview.
That's awesome. So when you talked to Dave, how did the interview go after that? And did they ask you, or were they just very impressed that you were familiar with the work they had done? And do you think that would be a good tip for other people looking for a job to be familiar with what projects the firm has done so you can talk about it?
So I got an email back from Dave, and he was more so shocked that I have heard about them and the work they do. So he actually connected me with Josh, who is the one that I actually interviewed with. But I do recommend, like, really, you know, doing your research and understanding what firm is about, their core values, and what type of projects they do and their specialties.
Now, the interview, was it kind of just to get to know you and ask what you're looking for? Was there any technical aspect of it? I know a lot of structural engineering full-time positions have more of a technical side of the interview.
Right. It was framed more as a get to know you and like introduction, which kind of like led towards an interview. So I thought that was, you know, it didn't feel as intimidating as like an interview, but just the fact that it was like a get to know you, like get to know us type thing. And I knew it was like an interview, but it didn't give me that like anxiety of having to do an interview. And I thought it was really fun getting to speak to Josh. And also Tyler was invited onto that interview as well. So I was able to speak to both of them, ask about what they do every day, and like, you know, some of show my interest. And like, I like probably mentioned 20 times in that interview that I want to know more about lateral design, especially how it's done for seismic, like over and over again. I'm pretty sure they knew.
Yep. Man, that's cool.
Interviewed for the position, was offered a position for internship. What did it look like? You know, you're not living out in Salt Lake, so you had to move out there. Time frame, did they help you with moving? Any kind of thing like that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, so it was, I think they had all their intern positions filled at that point, and they were really just looking to chat with me because they knew I was graduating, and I really wanted to get to know them more too and more about Dunn. So I believe it was either a Tuesday or Wednesday. It was sometime during my spring break where I was able to interview with Josh, and then I heard back within a few days that they were going to create a new opening for an intern position.
Wow.
And I didn't hesitate at all, and I immediately said yes. I didn't even think about the whole like moving process and figuring out a place to live. I knew I just needed to be in Salt Lake City that summer. So whatever it takes, whatever I need to do, I'll figure out later, but I really need to take this job right now. So that's exactly what I did, and I was super excited.
What was your first week like of the work? Like, what sort of tasks did you start on immediately?
So going in, first day was really just to meet everyone, I'd say, and understand what was going on. There was like a schedule plan for all the interns to talk to different people about what they do and different things that Dunn did, and the softwares and like how we do stuff on Revit. So I was able to kind of open up RAM's structural system that day and kind of go through the tutorial and really kind of figure out what's going on, like how to use this software. And there were these like planned meetings with Tyler, Jake, just a lot of people there were able to kind of show you like, okay, this is how Dunn does detailing, or this is how Dunn use Revit, and this is like how we go through a project, and this is like the process. So a lot of just introductory stuff. And then, you know, immediately the next day I was kind of put onto a task right away. Believe the first thing that I really did for them was I helped Alex lay out some cold form steel beams for some renovationing that they were doing in the Utah. Okay, I don't know why it's just
Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes.
So I was just putting some cold form steel sections in Revit, just spacing them out and learning how to use like the beam span tool, like super, super easy tasks. So that was like the first thing, most memorable thing that I did was like, oh, I get to kind of help out with this Utah Jazz project. So that was really awesome.
That is super cool. For people that are, you know, starting their first job or internship, what programs, I know that's something I always kind of consider when starting a new job, is the typical programs that they use, what I am familiar with. So what sort of programs did this firm use, and were you, you know, comfortable with them from school, or was it learning?
Right. So just some of the basic applications, like, you know, like Microsoft Teams, Outlook, just knowing how to like organize your emails. That's like a huge part. Besides that, then for like structural analysis, we use RAM, that software package. And then we also used EnerCalc for some stuff. At least that's what I used the most for those two. And then Excel spreadsheets. There are a few spreadsheets that we used to kind of help with structural analysis. And then besides that, you need to have some experience in Revit, because there's just so much to learn in Revit that you can't really, like, I don't think anybody has ever fully mastered Revit, and it's a continuous like learning process with Revit, but definitely Revit. And I do have some experience from some of the classes that I took in college for Revit, so I wasn't just kind of like thrown in there and figured it out, but I'd say know how to use Revit, and then just like your basic communication softwares. And then they also use Bluebeam as well for document markups. So, yeah.
Would you say most of the engineering side of things you're doing was via computer, or were you doing a lot of hand calculations as well?
At first, it was really just using the computer. Like RAM structural system and RAM concept were the two main softwares that I used. The interfaces were definitely new to me, and I didn't really understand at first what was going on. But when it really came to like designing a footing, like we have a whole foundations class that I took in college. So I like actually know how to design a footing from the geotechnical side of things in terms of like geometry and all that. So I was in EnerCalc doing a footing design, and I just wanted to make sure it was the right size. So I just quickly did a hand calc, you know, like you have your bearing capacity. You can easily figure out what your footing size could be based off the loads on it too. So it's just like a simple check that you can do to verify that the program is running the right stuff and to make sure that your inputs are valid.
Yeah, that is a great habit to have either way, just to run, be able to run things quickly by hand, confirm a number that's on the computer. You don't need to rely on that, but just to validate that it's true.
Right.
And I think a big important thing is, and whether your firm tells you or not, you should be asking to be running hand calculations. You should understand what the programs are doing, what they're asking of you. And if, in my own opinion, if you don't know how to do things by hand, you're going to be way behind. It's going to be harder to take any of these licensing exams, and it's going to be really hard to get this gut feel about things. Like just because the computer says it works, it actually doesn't mean it actually works necessarily. You know, exactly. There's a lot of different inputs and check boxes the computer asks for, but if you don't know what distortional buckling is, well, should you check it or not? Or should that value be 1.0 or should it not? You know, there's a lot of different things like that that I think is really important to understand by how to do things by hand at least once and know, you know, where that reference is. So I'm just going to toss that in there. And I would suggest this to you when you do end up, you know, joining your first job and joining the workforce, to really push your firm that you work for to do things by hand at least once. Because once you can do something by hand, man, the computer just becomes the tool of efficiency. And I think that's what people forget, is you're still the engineer. The computer is there just to be able to, you know, consistently put out calcs and be the efficient tool for you, but not to be there to be the engineer, not to be doing the engineering. So being able to do hand checks on what you're calcing, man, it's going to make you really successful in your career.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually use this, or my school uses this software called MathCAD, PTC MathCAD. It's the best software out there. So I was able to kind of use that too. I had a lot of these equations that I had from my professor's concrete class. He wrote his own textbook, so he has his own like chapters on different sections that kind of breaks down the ACI code into like a textbook format. So I was able to use some of my MathCat sheets to verify a few things, and that I found super helpful too. But you know, sometimes it really is just a simple by hand 5-minute calc real quick to see if what the output is spitting is correct or not.
Yeah, that is great. So, and the projects that you started when you were working at Dunn, did you mostly have pieces of larger projects like the jazz that you mentioned before, or did you have any smaller projects on your own?
It was mainly pieces of projects, I'd say, because I would get something from my supervisor and it would be like a portion of what he was doing and helping him get that done. And that was part of a bigger piece, which connected to a whole. I guess a good example of this would be laying out or profiling your tendons for a post-tension slab, a two-way post-tension slab. So at first, he pretty much had everything done besides the profile, and he just wanted me to adjust some of the profiling to make sure that it worked for your design status, to make sure that all your buttons are green and that everything is good to go. It really was just kind of just adjusting some profile heights to make sure everything was good to go. Then that led more to, okay, you lay out the tendons now. And then it got to, okay, you model everything. So I thought that was a really good way to learn.
So how nervous were you when you started? I mean, I can only imagine you get out of school, and thinking back for myself, you're starting on this job, you really have no clue what you're doing. I mean, school teaches you one thing, but how we do things, I feel like in the professional realm is quite different often. What were your feelings like when they said change these tendons, start laying this stuff out?
Yeah. So when it comes to like school stuff, I'm very confident with my calcs, but when people can die from your design, and that's when I just take a step back and I'm just triple checking, quadruple checking, making sure I'm doing it right, nonstop asking my supervisor, hey, like, am I doing this right? Can you take a look at it? It really was nerve wracking at first, but then you just start to get better at it and you start to understand what's going on. So at first it was kind of just doing it, but then you start to like really see what you're doing. Like, okay, this is why we adjust this profile, or this is why we lay it a certain way. And then you do it enough where you start getting more comfortable, and then you're held more responsible and you're more independent.
Yeah.
And you're more trusted to kind of get things done. But yeah, I definitely say that my first couple weeks, maybe like that first month and a half, was I was scared to change anything in the software. Like, I didn't want to press the wrong button and really screw things up. So I was very cautious and very scared to change anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's something you alluded to a little bit, but how did your responsibility develop over time? Like, did your supervisor really check stuff originally and then kind of reel it back a little bit? And, you know, the answer that you provided, he had faith that that was it and on to the next problem?
Yeah, so I'm very lucky that my supervisor would just come down occasionally to check on me and see how things were going. And anytime that I was stuck, I was able to run upstairs, grab him quickly. He pretty much would drop whatever he was doing, come down and take a look and really explain things to me. So that was super, super awesome. And I felt like that really helped me learn, in a sense that it's always good to ask questions. Even if it's a bad question, you should still ask just to make sure. So I'm pretty sure I asked plenty of stupid questions, but at the same time, I think it was absolutely critical to help me understand what was going on.
And I think from my perspective of managing people now, no matter what the question is, it's good because it allows me to understand what they know. Whether it comes up with this dumb question, truly the idea that there isn't a dumb question is really honestly factual, because if someone asks me a question, I'm like, man, they should really, comes up and, hey, is this the shear moment diagram for a simple span beam with a point load on it? It's like, whew, shouldn't probably trust them with these tasks without reviewing it, right? So you really get a good feel. So I think, asking your manager those questions that you're maybe nervous about really allows them to help you more so than it makes you look bad. I don't say I could ever like judge somebody for asking me a question. It just gives me a good understanding of where they're at, what's their knowledge base, and what tasks should they be put on in the sense of trying to help them move forward and progress. So
exactly. I think my favorite part was when my supervisor would come down and he would go, "Can I see that pen real quick?" And he would start drawing some stuff out. That was like the best thing ever. I get to really visualize what was going on and more than willing to hand him a piece of paper and my pen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I think we'll probably jump back to internship, but the next thing we want to talk about is now you are in grad school, which is very cool. I just popped in my head because we were talking about the internship. Is there anything that you took from the internship that feels more in place now that you're in grad school, like something you learned about concrete or steel that, you know, like working construction and the geometric components that you can like really apply this to the grad program?
Right. So it's actually super funny because I worked on the multifamily team.
Yeah.
And for at my school, our grad program, you can choose to do a practicum versus a thesis. So for the practicum, it's like a actual project that you get to work on by yourself with alumni from the university. And the professor that runs that class, he like picks people and like he picks like a student with an alumni and he matches you with them. So I was able to get someone who was doing, who also does like, well, I guess for like the project I'm doing right now, it is a multifamily project. So it really relates to work as well. I didn't get to do a whole lot of wood design at my internship, but I also haven't taken wood design yet until this semester.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm kind of just seeing how everything comes together because during my internship, I was worried about I was working just on the podium portion. So anything above that, I didn't really get to see all too much of.
Yeah.
And now I'm taking wood design and I'm also in my practicum, which is a multifamily project. So there is a wood portion of it and also a podium. So when I was told what my project was, I was like, okay, I just want to do a PT slab because that's like what I'm most familiar with. But,
yep.
You know, through these first couple months of practicum, I've really got to see like the full spectrum in the sense that like there isn't always just one solution to things. And you have to really like go through a process in eliminating all the options that aren't the best for this project. So
mm-hmm.
for my practicum right now, I'm doing three alternatives for the wood layout and the wood framing and kind of, you know, like, okay, what are the pros and cons for each from each discipline, you know? So if I do like a certain layout, it might be beneficial for the architect, but not so much for the contractor. So it really is kind of just figuring out what is the best option and what is most economical, or if, you know, the owner really cares about getting this thing up fast, then you have to go with the option that is going to be most buildable. But then at the same time, you still want to achieve what the architect sought out for this project. So
yeah,
I think that that's something that isn't always like talked about. And I didn't really like truly start thinking about it until I started working on my practicum project.
Yeah.
So give us a summary of your internship from starting to end. What you thought in the beginning to what you left with at the end. And I know we've kind of hit this a little bit here, but just kind of giving us a nice kind of storyline there.
Right. So I got into Salt Lake City at the end of May. I literally graduated on Sunday and then I was in Salt Lake City Fort Collins in Denver for a little while, but literally I was like, I need to leave. I need to get out of Iowa City. I'm driving. Like I packed my bags, just like a duffel bag with some clothes, my laptop, some shoes, my work clothes. And that was it. I just left Iowa City, headed straight west. I got there on a Saturday night. I started work the upcoming Monday. And first I was really, really like confident in my understanding. I walked in and I was like, okay, I just took concrete past year and steel. Like I know my stuff. I know what I'm doing. And then boom, reality check. I don't know anything. Like, let's start from scratch. So all confidence out the door. And, you know, I'm just slowly picking up what Dunn does and slowly trying to understand, okay, like this is how they do certain things. And for a multifamily project, there are certain things that they do that may be different from other consulting firms, but I also like haven't worked for anybody else. So I don't know. But so now I see like, okay, this is how they do things, and this is how, like, I guess it's supposed to be done. And that was like my thought process. But then seeing more projects and seeing how they have the same like structure for each project, but there's so many different problems for each project that there's so many solutions that they have to consider.
Yeah. Did it feel more complicated than you expected, or about on par with what you were thinking, like structural based on what you learned would be?
Oh man, it's way more complicated. Yeah. I wouldn't even say it's like comparable, because when I use Revit and the projects that we did in Revit, like the level of details that we had for school versus what, you know, actually gets put in your construction documents is night and day. Like,
yeah,
the attention to detailing, I've never seen so many different details. Like, you have your typical ones and you have all your unique ones. And that was like eye-opening. And then also the whole shop drawing stuff and having to check shop drawings too. Like, it's just really, you can't get that knowledge and experience unless you're like there working and actively participating day to day in the whole design process. But I would be given like small tasks day by day, little by little. I would finish them. I took a long time to do certain things, but I think by the end of it, I was trusted more to kind of work independently, and I was given like longer tasks and more tasks. And I'm super lucky that they decided to keep me for the school year too. So now I work Tuesdays and Thursdays virtually for them. And I really like that aspect, because I get to kind of have that school side and the work side at the same time. And I think it's really a great resource for me, because I'm able to ask some questions about like my practicum, for example. I was able to ask my supervisor, like, oh, what do you think about this? Should I do it this way? Or like, you know, can you give me some advice? Or like, where can I go look to find the answer? It really was a complete new experience for me, because I had never been that far away from home. And especially for that duration too, it was just all really new. And I really felt like this past summer has been like the craziest ride of my life. It has never been this wild before, just going across the country and working for a consulting firm. Yeah, it was just super, super unique experience.
Well, let's sum up school and internship here with one easy answer. It's yes or no. Do you still want to be a structural engineer?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Good. Good. There's so much ups and downs through school and internships and stuff. And I'm glad to hear that. I know I have some friends that went different directions. And I think it goes back to what you said with school, is that sometimes it's just not your thing and you should be aware of it and you should change it. And I think that's being self-aware is so important. So I'm glad to hear that you're all in now. So moving into grad school, what are you doing? You decided to go to grad school before you did the internship, I'm guessing. Is that the timeline? Did you finish the internship and say, hey, I'm going to grad school? You know, where are you going to grad school at, and why did you decide to go?
Yeah, so I mentioned before that I interviewed at a place in Kansas City, and then I decided to turn it down because I didn't feel like I was ready to accept the full-time job. And that's partially because I felt like I didn't know enough, but you know, that's true for everyone that just graduates or whatnot. Just, you don't know everything. But for me, it felt like I needed to know more before I worked in the industry, especially like being exposed to so many new things. And anytime I would read anything structures related, there would always be something I didn't know about and I would have to go look it up. So that made me feel like, okay, I need more school. I need more time to really just learn more about structural engineering and all the different things related to it. So I thought that was the best move for me, at least, was to go back to school and really just focus more on the, because I knew about the practicum aspect, and I knew that would be super helpful if I was able to work on a project by myself and go from and go through the whole process of design. And I thought, you know, that's not something that most schools offer, and it's a really unique thing for the University of Iowa. So I decided to go back to the University of Iowa to get my master's, which is something that I'm working on now. But yeah.
And just to throw it out, like, is the master's a 2-year program?
It's, so my school lets you double count some credits from your undergrad degree to grad. So I'm able to get, I think it was 9 credits out of the way, and that I was able to double count into my grad program. So I'm able to hopefully get through the grad program in a year. That's the goal right now, but definitely worth it for me. Yeah,
I know Max and I have debated this. We actually have a podcast episode on if you should get your master's or not.
Oh, man.
Max is for it. He absolutely thinks it's the greatest thing. I'm hesitant. I got to be honest. I really think if you're a really good communicator and you love to learn, and I think you are that person, I think if you get to the right firm, you can really learn everything and anything. I mean, Max and I both have quite a bit of experience in structural engineering, and I would say that everyone, you know, every magazine, Structure Mag, there's something in there like, man, I have no clue how they figured that out. And I think that's the cool thing is, like, we are always innovating and we are doing the craziest of the crazy as an industry, since we have all this technology is a big, you know, part of it. I think there, and we've debated, you know, where's the value you get out of it. And I 100% agree there is value. I just don't think it's always that everyone needs to go do it. I don't know where I'm going with this here. Yeah. I'm not trying to talk you out of it, but I think for people listening, it's definitely something to think about. And talking to you in the past, wanting to really dive into that high seismic, nonlinear dynamic analysis kind of stuff, 100% additional school is the right approach for most people. Right. I think you get to the right firm with the right mentor, with the right projects, you can learn it and maybe a little bit quicker than school, but I think for better or worse, most firms require you to have a master's. I'm seeing less and less of that. It's more of a preferred thing than required from when I started. So I think it's an interesting thing to think through.
I think it's very situational too, and it depends on like what you're trying to do. Like you said earlier, that I'm more interested in high seismic and that dynamic aspect of structural engineering. For me also, I needed another year to kind of do some independent learning. I thought it would be, you know, if I just did school, I would have enough time to really kind of read more books or really like dive into some other topics in structural engineering. So that was kind of like the biggest selling point for me, at least, was, okay, I get another year to, you know, just be a student and kind of take my time to really like invest, you know, my free time into learning a little more about some other things.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I think we'll follow up this podcast in, I would say, a year, maybe 2 years, and hear how the rest of grad school went and how starting your first job is going. So, David, thanks for being on the podcast.
Sweet. Thank you. I appreciate it.